Let's read the Word of God now from James chapter 1. James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof fadeth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. We're going to read again the verses that are the sermon text tonight, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, the Word of God here talks about asking God for wisdom. And that is one of the most important things that we can ask for. We mustn't forget to ask for it. And if we understand what wisdom is, then we'll know why we need to ask for it. And we'll see, too, that what James says here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We'll see that that is indeed a word of God that we need to hear. We're going to talk about wisdom, first of all, what it is. If we understand what wisdom is, then I am sure that we will say very emphatically, say yes to the Word of God in this passage and agree that we have to ask for wisdom. We're also going to talk about asking in faith. James makes a point of that in verse 6. But let him ask in faith. And finally, we're going to look at that warning. Ask in faith, James says, nothing wavering. And that warning is also very necessary and important in this matter of asking God for wisdom. I wonder if I asked you what wisdom was, what your answer would be. If you know what wisdom is, then there can be no doubt in your mind that it is one of the first things that we have to ask for. It's obvious from the passage that wisdom is something so special that it has to come from God. I should maybe add that there is a wisdom which doesn't come from God. James talks about that in chapter 4. But the wisdom that you need and that I need is something that God alone can give. You'll never have it if you don't receive it from Him. And that means, of course, that it's something very spiritual as well. That it's a gift of grace that was purchased by the blood and death of God's only begotten Son. Christ had to die. That's how valuable this is, this wisdom. Christ had to die in order that we might have it. The second thing that I want to emphasize about wisdom is that it is not the same thing as knowledge. Knowledge is important, and in fact, we're going to talk about that a little bit as we go on. But wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. You can have a person who has a great deal of knowledge, but who is totally lacking in wisdom. And that can even happen among God's people. That you have someone who has a great deal of knowledge of the doctrines and teachings of the Word of God, but who lacks wisdom. That's implied here in what James says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the God-given and spiritual ability to apply the Word of God, to use it when you need it, so that the Word of God is never something abstract, but something that changes your attitudes, your life, your thinking. That's wisdom. Another way of describing wisdom is to say that wisdom is the spiritual ability to know how to serve and glorify God in all the circumstances of life, and to put the Word of God to use in that way. You don't just know what it teaches, but you know how to use it in everything that happens to you. Something very, very practical then. If you say, for example, I don't know how to handle this in my life, then what you need is wisdom. I don't know what to do in these circumstances in which God has placed me. It's at such times as that this Word of God is necessary. Ask for wisdom. Wisdom is what you need. Now, James is thinking here especially about trials, times of suffering, times of those difficult times in our lives when, like Jacob, everything seems to be against us, when we tend to become distressed and afraid and discouraged and all of the rest. James is saying you need wisdom to deal with those trials. Need wisdom to be patient in those trials. You need wisdom to trust God in those trials, because wisdom is that spiritual ability to take what the Word of God says about trials and apply it to your own circumstances. And I think you recognize the fact that we don't always do that. We could probably quote verses that talk about trials and suffering and all of the rest, but when it comes to our own circumstances, we somehow fail to apply the Word of God to ourselves and to use the Word of God in those very, very difficult circumstances in which He puts us. But wisdom is necessary not just in trials, but in every area of our lives. It's necessary, for example, in the whole matter of being good stewards of what God has given us. If you're going to use whatever it is that God's given you and use it wisely and for His glory, you need an enormous amount of wisdom to do that. You need to apply what the Word of God says about material things to the wealth or lack of wealth that God has given you. We need, as parents, we need wisdom in dealing with our children. in teaching them, in disciplining them, in being a good example to them. Anybody who's a parent will agree with me that there's probably nothing that a parent needs so much as wisdom in all that happens in the family. Need wisdom in marriage. Takes a great deal of wisdom to be a godly, God-fearing wife or husband. But that wisdom is the spiritual ability to really use what the Word of God says about marriage and about those of us who are husbands and wives. It takes wisdom to live a single life, to really apply to oneself what the Word of God says about being alone. I don't think there's any area of life where we don't need wisdom. We need wisdom when we have difficult decisions to make about work, for example. What should I do? Now, the Word of God doesn't say, of course, you should take this job or that job. You should change jobs or stay where you are. It doesn't give us that kind of advice. But I think you understand that even then we need wisdom to make God-glorifying decisions in such circumstances. To do not just what's best for us personally or for our families, but what's best for the glory of God. It takes wisdom, for example. When you're out of work, struggling to find work, to apply to your own circumstances the fact that the church and one's place in the church is even more important than daily bread. All those areas are areas of life in which we need wisdom, that spiritual ability to live for God's glory in the circumstances in which He's placed us. And sadly, believers don't always have the wisdom that they should have. There are parents, for example, parents in our own churches who can tell you what God's covenant is all about, can quote to you the promise of the covenant, can talk, if you ask them, can talk about the responsibilities of fathers and mothers as they're outlined in a book like Ephesians, but who lack wisdom and don't seem to be able to apply the Word of God to themselves, and whose homes and families are not as they should be. And that's putting it mildly. Their home life, their families are not even close to the pattern of God's Word. And what's lacking is that ability to take to heart and apply the Word of God to one's own circumstances, as a father or as a mother in that case. And certainly James was thinking of that when he wrote these words, thinking of people whom he knew, who even though they knew the truths of God's word backwards and forwards, did not seem to have that ability to apply it to themselves. And it's to them, to all of us, because there are circumstances in which we all lack wisdom. Circumstances in which we fail to take the Word of God to heart and use it where God has put us. It's for that reason that we have this Word of God here in the Epistle of James. One of the very first things that James talks about in this very, very practical and down-to-earth book. And James says, if you lack, ask. It's as simple as that. All you need to do is ask. And James is right, of course, that very often the problem, if we lack wisdom, is exactly that, that we have not asked. That consciously or unconsciously, we faced whatever is in front of us with the attitude, I can get through this. I can find my way through this. To the extent that we don't even want help from others. Which, of course, isn't anything nearly as serious a matter as our forgetting that the ability to apply the Word of God is a gift of God. And therefore something for which we must ask. Now, implied in that, too, is the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism. When it talks about prayer, we all understand that we can't manipulate God with our prayers. The very thought of that is horrifying. The idea that I can somehow manipulate the great God of heaven and earth with my prayers is blasphemous. But that doesn't make prayer useless. That doesn't make God dependent on us. And the Heidelberg Catechism emphasizes that when it talks about prayer and says, God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only, who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. God has in His wisdom appointed prayer as the way in which He gives His gifts. And that is so certainly the case that though He's not dependent on my asking, without my asking, I can expect to receive nothing from Him. There's a parallel in our everyday life that we take for granted. God has appointed food as the way in which we're healthy and live and are able to do our work. Does he depend on that? No. Does that compromise his sovereignty, his ability to keep us alive? It doesn't. But it makes me the worst of fools if I say, God in his sovereignty can keep me alive, and therefore I'm going to stop eating and drinking. We all know what happens then. And it's the same with prayer. He's appointed prayer as the way in which he gives his gifts. And that means, and James is getting at that, that we must not forget to ask. And here especially to ask for this important spiritual gift. How am I, in these particular circumstances, to live for the glory of God? The answer is, first of all, ask for wisdom. And ask, too, in the confidence. That's faith, of course. Ask in the confidence that God will give it. There are things we ask for that God in his wisdom does not give. I may be sick and ask to get better again, and God in his wisdom may not give me what I ask. We all understand that. But James emphasizes the fact that God will give this to those who ask. Will give you and me the wisdom that we need in the circumstances in which he's placed us. And James underlines that by saying, by describing God, first of all, of course, as the one who giveth to all men liberally. It's not just that he'll give wisdom, but he'll give all the wisdom that you need. And James says he doesn't upbraid. He is never going to say to you, when you come to him in prayer and ask for that spiritual ability to apply the Word of God in the circumstances in which he's placed you, to apply it to yourself, he's never going to say, you should know better. What's the matter with you? You've been reading the Word of God for years and you still didn't get it? He's never going to say that. But will give liberally. Something to think about, isn't it? Something that we all need to think about. And asking in faith means that I believe that. That I take to heart what the Word of God says here. That wisdom is a gift of God, but a gift that I need to ask for. And ask in the confidence that God will never, ever deny that prayer. That's part of asking in faith. That we really, really take to heart what the Word of God says here. And of course, the foundation for that faith is the work of Christ. If wisdom is indeed a spiritual gift, then it was purchased by the blood of God's only begotten Son. And I ask for it in the confidence that Christ, by his sacrifice, earned everything that I need. Didn't just earn for me the forgiveness of sins, but earned what Paul calls in Ephesians, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's asking in faith. And in fact, it's not just that we ask for Christ's sake, but Christ is really the answer. When you're asking for wisdom, then what you're really asking for is Christ. He is, Scripture says, the living wisdom of God. And the answer to the prayer for wisdom is that God gives Christ to his people. But there's a little bit more to that asking in faith. Sometimes there's a problem among God's people when they're puzzled and don't know what to do in particular circumstances. And that has to do with faith and asking in faith. Faith is that confidence. In this case, that God wants his children to be wise, but has appointed prayer as the way in which he makes them wise. It's that confidence. But don't ever forget that prayer is knowledge too. I said at the beginning that wisdom and knowledge are two different things. And that's correct. You can have all the knowledge in the world and not be wise. I've said before that in everyday life, a man who has knowledge and not wisdom is the fellow who can explain to you in detail how the engine of your car works. Tell you all about an internal combustion engine and its parts and how it works. But when his own car breaks down, he can't even get the hood up. He doesn't know how to apply it, you see. He's got all the knowledge, but no wisdom. But things can be the other way around, too. That the problem is a lack of knowledge. And we mustn't think when we come to a passage like this that simple solution that's given us here in the Word of God, let him ask, means that there's no point to finding out what exactly the Word of God says about your circumstances, your trials, your family, your marriage, stewardship, work, and all the rest. Remember what we said about wisdom? Wisdom is the spiritual ability to take that and apply it. And when the Word of God says, let him ask in faith, then among other things it means know what the Word of God says. That knowledge is not useless. It's that knowledge that has to be applied. And if you don't know, then your business is first of all to go to the Word of God and find what the Word of God says about your life, your circumstances, your needs, your questions, and then ask God for the wisdom to apply it. So there's that too. That's part of asking in faith. And you can see that at every point, the Word of God is touching on things that we all need to be reminded of. I need to be reminded of, you need to be reminded of the importance of knowledge. Because without that knowledge, I'm not going to have anything to apply. But need to be reminded, too, of the importance of asking for wisdom. To take it and use it in those particular, often difficult circumstances in which God has placed me. Very important word of God, then. And a word, of course, as we've seen, that is founded on the cross and saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one more thing. And that's that warning. Nothing wavering. And James makes quite a point of that, too. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then he goes on to describe a person that wavers as double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And there too, he's getting at something that is very often a real problem in the lives of believers. Wavering, of course, means that we don't disbelieve the promise of the Word of God here. But James is talking about more than that. He's pointing out here the possibility. I have the knowledge. I'm struggling. Ask for wisdom. But ask, having already made up my mind what I'm going to do, even if it's disobedience to the Word of God, or made up my mind that it had better be the way I want it, or I am not going to be content, not going to be happy in the circumstances God has placed me. A couple of examples will help. You might think, for example, of the person who's going through trials, who's really struggling to deal with those trials, who knows what the Word of God says, passage like Romans 8, comes to God and asks for the wisdom to apply that, but asks with this attitude, if things do not turn out the way I want them to turn out, then I am not going to be happy. I am not going to be content in these circumstances. That's wavering. That's being what James calls double-minded. On the one hand, I do recognize the fact that I need wisdom from God, but on the other hand, I am determined that things had better be my way. And you know what James says here about that attitude. God does not hear that prayer. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Another example. Used this in Linden when I preached on the passage because it applied in the congregation there. Mother or father who's struggling with the responsibilities of family life. Family life is not even close to what it should be. The family's a mess. In spite of the fact that they know what the Bible says about God's covenant, about the responsibilities as parents, they're not applying it. Come to God with a request for the wisdom to deal with those circumstances, but will not submit to the Word of God and to what it says about fathers and mothers, the mother's place in the home, the father's responsibilities as the head of the home. May not, as a father, ask God for the wisdom to deal with the circumstances that are there in my own family while I'm neglecting my responsibilities. Doing my own thing. And expect that God will give me the wisdom that I need. And the same goes for all of these other circumstances. That's wavering. That's being double-minded. Wanting it both ways. And that's why further on in the chapter, in the epistle, James comes back to this. Chapter 4. He talks about asking and not receiving. And he says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. That you ask so that you can do what you want. That's really what it comes down to. And he says then, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So at every point, the Word of God here in the epistle should speak to every one of us with our questions, with our struggles, with our needs, with our difficulties in serving God in those trials that he sends us. And I hope, beloved, that you and I with you take the Word of God here to heart, each one of us, for himself. That we ask our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father for that amazing gift of wisdom. And ask in the confidence that God will give it, but without wavering. Then that promise of James chapter 4, verse 10, will be realized to us. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. To ask without wavering is to humble yourself before him. To confess your sins. To do what James says, cleanse your hands as you go to him with this request for wisdom, is to go in the assurance that he will lift you up and give you that gift of grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. To live thankfully, cheerfully, for the glory of God, as we're called to do in whatever circumstances He places us. Even in the most difficult and seemingly unbearable circumstances. So take the Word of God here. Take it with you. Don't forget it as soon as you walk out the doors. And do. Do with all your heart. Do it in Christ and for Christ's sake, what God commands here. And you'll experience not only the truth of James 4, verse 10, He shall lift you up, but the truth of our text too, that God gives liberally and upbraideth not, gives in answer to our needs. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the time we had together this Lord's Day. Thankful that we could worship together, be together as fellow believers. Look forward to the day when we will be with all the saints in heaven. And ask especially, Father, that what we have learned from the Word of God may be taken to heart by each one of us, that we may live in everything in obedience to the Word of God, submitting ourselves to what we are taught in that holy and inspired Word. Forgive us our sins and weaknesses. They are so evident, Father, when we come to a passage like this. Forgive them for Jesus' sake, and hear us and answer us in mercy. For Jesus' sake, amen.